I just love this beat so much. I'm serious. And cut. What's up? It's your girl Ray back with another episode. So you guys, oh my goodness, it is December 22nd. Christmas is almost here. I am so excited. I have wrapped so many gifts. Like, here's the thing. No matter how old your kids get, when you create a tradition in your family, you want to hold on to that tradition. So the thing that my son and I, a tradition that we have in our little family, is I always wrap his gifts. And they're trash. I can't wrap. That's not my gift at all. But if I don't wrap the gifts, he'll just be like, oh, you didn't wrap the gifts. I want to open them up. You know, it's just like our little thing. So I was like, let me wrap this grown boy gifts. Some of the gifts I couldn't wrap. I ran out of wrapping paper and I don't feel like going to Five Below the wrapping paper. So yeah, he's just going to have to open those up. And yeah, but I hope you guys are having a happy holiday. I know that right now, a lot of people are going through it. A lot of people can't afford to buy gifts for their family. But you know what? If that is the case for you, just really love on your family, love on your children, and just be happy that you all are alive and, you know, you're healthy and you're blessed. And just thank God for that. Don't worry about the material things, because that can always come. But just being able to be around your family is a blessing. And so, oh, excuse me. Let's hold on to that. Let me get something to drink. So, you guys, it's funny that I started off with that little message, because this story is actually, like, pertaining to family and friends. Give me a second. I'm really about to drink something, like, live. Don't judge me. And I'm drinking Arizona green tea, because that is all I drink. I drink Arizona and I drink water. And other types of green tea. Okay, now, and I'm not going to edit that out either, because listen, y'all get thirsty too. We are all human. Ooh, okay, now that my throat is no longer dry, let's get into it. Okay, so the name of the episode, as you can see, is called My Cousin Vinny. There's a movie called My Cousin Vinny, but I actually had a cousin named Vinny. There were a group of cousins that I had growing up. We were very close. And we just, I don't know, like, we just, it was the clique. Like, we were the creep squad before, you know, they created the creep squad on Love and Hip Hop. That's what we called ourselves. We were the creep squad. I'm so serious. Like, I wish I could find my old cell phone where I was like, what should we call our clique? So anyway, I met Vinny. I don't know exactly how old I was. I think I was like 27 when I met Vinny. But yes, I met Vinny. So Vinny was a very close friend of one of my cousins that was in the creep squad. And Vinny, from the very beginning, was the life of the party. Now, I believe Vinny, when I was 27, I want to say Vinny was like 30. But Vinny was the life of the party. Vinny would buy you whatever drink you want. He would be like, let's go to the strip club. Let's go to the after club spots. Like, Vinny was that guy. And I mean, we all loved to party because we were young and, you know, our kids were like really little at the time. So, you know, we were enjoying life. We were living it up. We were partying. We were drinking. You know, we were going to strip clubs. We, baby, I could write a book just about that. Okay. Because we did a lot. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of crazy encounters. I need to rate my cousin on here. Because the way we used to do some wild stuff, like the fights, the almost fights, the drama, the crying, the pull over right now, let's fight. Like, it was a vibe, okay? We had a lot of fun. But, you know, when you get older, you have to learn how to leave that life behind. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with partying and drinking when you get older, but we did it so excessively that it really had to stop at some point. You know what I'm saying? Like, it couldn't be an every weekend type thing, as bad as we wanted it to be. Like, we could just be drinking every night and going to the club every night. Like, it got to a point where it just became like unhealthy. So my cousin and I, like, you know, we started, you know, we were working, we were in school, some of us were in serious relationships, our children, you know, they were getting older. And so it just got to a point where that every weekend or every week thing was just really getting old. Like, it was getting tired. Like, we were growing up, you know, that's just what it is. We were growing up. Vinny was not growing up. Like, Vinny, I won't say that he always had a job. He always had a lot of money. He always kept a nice truck. But Vinny wasn't like, I don't know. It's like he was stuck. Like, it was like he was so stuck in just the party zone and the getting drunk zone. And I don't know why. Again, Vinny was more, he was closer to my other cousin. So I call him my cousin because we actually found out during the times that we started hanging with Vinny that he was our cousin. Like, we were really related to him. I think my cousin found out from like his grandmother or mom, or maybe it was Vinny's mom, I'm not sure. But come to find out, we were related. So that made it even better, because it was like, oh, you was already family to us anyway. Like, we loved you anyway. So, okay, cousin, you know. But Vinny he would drink all the time. And my mom, you know, she had a store, and she owned her store for 20 plus years. Vinny was a regular customer because he had actually moved down the street with his girlfriend. So he would come to her store all the time. And when I was home, I would see him. And it's always just buying alcohol, like no food, no snacks, just alcohol and maybe a pack of gum. Like, that's it. And I just be like, hey, Vinny, you know, he like, oh, cuz, what you doing? Let's go hang. Let's go, you know, let's go out. And I'd be like, nah, bro, I got to go to work. Because, again, like, it got to a point where it was like, bro, we're older. Like, we have to go to work. We got kids. Like, our kids got school. Like, we can't be about that life all the time, you know. But he'd be like that. He'd be like Tuesday night at 8 p.m. He'd be like, cuz, let's go out. And I'm like, bro, I got to get home to my kid. I got to get my kid ready for school. Like, you know, we were maturing. Now, I want to say that my other cousin and Vinny still hung out. But I know my other cousin, he wasn't really hanging out as much either, because by this time he had like multiple kids. So he really couldn't like afford to do all that partying and stuff, because it's expensive to go out. So one night, you know, again, we were all close, but it would just be a few conversations here and there. People have lives. People have families. It's nothing to be mad about. You know, you know what it is. Like, we're adults now. But when I lived in Charlotte, my other cousin, he was like, yo, we're coming to Charlotte. We want to, you know, party. So I was like, yeah, let's do it. My son is with my mom over that way. So y'all come over this way. You know, y'all can stay tonight. We can hang, whatever. So they come over and Vinny's like completely drunk. And so this was back in 2016. And I remember my other cousin, I kind of looked at him and I'm like, why is he drunk? It's 7 o'clock. Like, he was like, man, that dude was drinking on the way here. So I'm looking at him sideways. I'm like, why y'all let him get drunk like that? Like, it's still early. Why are you drunk at 7 o'clock? But whatever. I know Vinny is like the party machine. So I'm like, whatever. This is just Vinny. It is what it is. So he was coming down my stairs, and my stairs, like at this old apartment, they were like very slippery. Like, even though they were carpet, it was like, if you walk too fast, you would like slide down. Like, you really had to be careful. And so him being drunk, he came up the stairs. I don't even know why he came upstairs. I don't know what he was up there for, but he came upstairs and he falls when he's coming back downstairs. Like, I hear like a loud thump. So I like rush downstairs. It scared me because I was like, what the heck was that? So I'm like, Vinny, are you okay? And I start laughing a little bit because I'm like, yo, did you fall? Like, I'm goofy, so I'm just going to laugh. Like, oh, you know, goofy drunk. And then I see like blood up against the wall. So I'm like, wait, are you okay? Like, what's up? And he was like, oh, I think I bust my head. So I'm like, all right, stand up. Now, mind you, he's like 6'5", 6'6". So I'm trying to like help him up and I'm struggling. So I call my other two cousins. I'm like, y'all help me. Like, he fell. So they're all kind of laughing too until they see the blood. And I'm like, I think he's really hurt. So I was like, do you want to go to the hospital? Because you bust your head. And he was like, nah, I don't need to go to the hospital. I'm okay. Just clean me up. He just kept saying that. Clean me up. I never forget that. He kept saying that. Clean me up. So we go to the kitchen and I pull out my first aid kit and he's leaking. So I'm like trying to protect not only myself, but like he's in my kitchen. So this is where we eat. So I'm like trying to keep the blood from like falling all over the sink and the counter. And then I'm trying not to get blood on me. So I'm like wiping him up and he like, clean me up. So I'm cleaning him up. Wiping him up, finally got him to stop bleeding. Looking back, he really needed stitches. The way he was bleeding, he needed stitches. But I managed to stop the bleeding. I got some Band-Aids and I cleaned him up real good. He was still bleeding a little bit, but it wasn't that bad. And so while we're standing there and I was like, Vinny, what's up? Like, why do you drink so bad? Like, I understand, like, back in the day when we were young, but, like, we're older now. Like, why are you? Because by 2016, I was, like, me and my other two cousins, they had to be, like, in their mid-30s. So, Vinny had to be, like, 40. If he wasn't 40, he was, like, late 30s. Yeah, I'm tripping. He had to be, like, 38 to 39. So I'm like, why do you drink so much? Like, what's up? And I was like, are you fighting some demons? Like, did something happen to you? Like, why are you such a drunk? Now, I don't know what made me ask him that. I just think like, I had been saved for a few years now. I think I was saved for like 3 years now. So my discernment was starting to be, you know, come in more. My prophetic was stronger and I was really starting to spiritually feel what people felt. I really do it now, but at that time, it was still kind of new, but I just felt like a sadness when I was touching him. And I was just like, Vinny, like, what's the tea? Like, what's up? So I was like, are you fighting some demons? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, well, what are you fighting? And he didn't say. So I was like, do you want me to pray for you? You know, because even though it felt like such a silly moment to ask that because he's drunk and I also had started drinking and that was the night that we were going to party, I felt this strong need to pray for him because I was like, this is not normal. Like, for somebody to still be drinking like this, this is not normal. This is like an addiction. Like, there's really something wrong. So I just grab his hands and I just start praying. Like, it was obvious that he didn't want to tell me why he drank so much. He didn't want to speak about his trauma, anything that happened in his life. So I caught that immediately. I'm like, okay, he doesn't want to talk about it, but clearly there's something wrong. So I like grab both his hands and I'm like just praying for him. And I'm like, you know, Vinny, I really want God to just move in your life. I want God to really help you and protect you and help you fight with whatever you're fighting with. So I like hold his hands and I'm praying and he like put his head down and he's praying with me. And like after that happened or whatever, I felt like his tears like fall on my hand and I just like reached up at him and I like wiped his face. And it's like when my other cousins came back down, he straightened up and he got himself together. And just like that, he became like the party person again. And I just remember thinking like, wow, this is such a persona for him. Like, he knows how to switch it on and switch it off, because we had such a vulnerable, powerful moment. And just like that, he switched back on party boy Vinny and let's turn up, let's get it in, you know. So, give me a minute. I had to hold back tears because that was rough. I just remember like just feeling his tears on my hand. I'm sorry. So we go to the club that night and we're at the bar, and Vinny is like, he's bleeding again. So he's like, yo, cuz, clean me up. So we're in the bar and I'm cleaning him up and I have napkins and wiping his face. And I'm just watching him the whole night because he's drunk and he's bleeding and he's kind of like falling over. And I don't want him to fall into somebody and get hurt. So the whole night I'm kind of playing babysitter because I don't want anything bad to happen to him. And I remember the last bar that we went to in Charlotte, the guy, he was like, man, you got to go. He was like, you leaking real bad. Like, that's unsanitary. Like, you're going to get some of that on, you know, the people in the club. So I walk him back to the truck and my cousin calls me. He's like, why did y'all leave? And I was like, Vinny's leaking. Like, he has to go to a hospital. He needs stitches or something because he's bleeding really bad. So my cousin was like, all right, well, we about to go. We're not going to stay in here without y'all. So they come outside. I'm talking to Vinny. I'm, again, just trying to clean him up. We stop by a store. I get, like, more first aid stuff to just put on his face, the side of his face. And the bleeding stopped again. So I was like, okay, Vinny, like, you know, my cousin was like, well, let's go to this other spot or whatever. So we went to this last spot. And I got pictures, and I just remember, like, he was still kind of drunk out of his mind, but he started to sober up a little bit, and again, he had stopped bleeding. We went home that night, and that was, like, the last time I think I've ever talked or seen Vinny. And I found out he passed through Facebook. I saw something on Facebook where somebody posted his name and I was like, what happened? Why are you posting his name in that way? And the person messaged me and was like, oh, he passed. And so I reached out to my other cousin because my other cousin was his best friend. So I'm like, is that true? Did Vinny pass away? And he was like, yeah, I thought you knew. And I'm like, how would I know? I don't live. Because at this time, this was back in North Carolina, but I had already moved away. I had moved to Texas and nobody told me anything, which is like really low key trash. But I'm like, yeah, how would I know? Like, I'm not in South Carolina or North Carolina. Like, I didn't know he passed. And he was like, yeah. And again, I never discuss how people pass as I want to respect the family. But I was like, wait, what? So my cousin like breaks down how he died. And I'm just immediately like devastated, hurt, in pain. Can't believe it. Don't want to believe it. God, why? You know, really, Vinny? And I just remember my cousin, he was like, you know, he was telling me how he was like, man, I'll tell you what, I'll never be the same. He was like, I can't even go home because all I can think about is all the spots that me and him go to. Because, you know, that was really his dog. Like, they were best friends. And so I was just like, all right, you know, let me get off the phone. And, it's been sad enough. And I knew, like, while me and my cousin was talking, like, he wanted to get off the phone to cry. I wanted to get off the phone to cry because it just seemed like, it was so, like, it just didn't seem real. Like, Vinny? Really? So, that happened. And, you know, a lot of guilt came over me because I was like, oh, man, like, I should have prayed harder. I should have reached out to him more. I should have called him. I should have invited him to church. You know, sometimes when bad things happen to us, we can become very self-centered and selfish. In that moment, I kind of was more sad about what I felt like I didn't do. And that was very selfish of me because I should have been sad for his family. I should have been sad for his girlfriend. I should have been sad for the fact that he lost his life at such a young age. But I was more so sad because I'm like, I feel like I should have done something. I feel like I should have prayed more. Like, I shouldn't have kept him out of my prayers. Like, that shouldn't have been the only night I prayed for him. And I felt guilt for a very long time, for years, until one of my mentors had a talk with me and she had to tell me, like, listen, you didn't kill him. You didn't make him excessively drink. You didn't, whatever that thing that happened to him, that wasn't you. That wasn't something that you caused. So you can't walk around with this guilt. You did try to pray for him. And maybe in that moment, you might have been the only person that offered to do that. So don't feel that guilt. And so eventually I did let the guilt go. And I tell this story as an example of when you have the opportunity to pray for people, when you have the opportunity to speak life into people, make sure you do that because you never know if that's your last opportunity. I think sometimes it's very easy for us to judge people and get slightly irritated with people with their behaviors and the things that they do. But we have to understand that there's always a reasoning why people do what they do. There's always something there. And just because you don't understand it, just because they haven't talked to you about it, it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. For whatever reason, Vinny was an alcoholic, and I can't tell you why Vinny was an alcoholic. Vinny never told us much about his life. He was a very private person. So whatever demons Vinny was fighting, he never told me. Now, maybe he told someone else closer to him. Maybe people in his family knew why he was like that. I didn't know. And honestly, that's okay. He had that right to not tell me something. But I just like when you have the opportunity to help someone with prayer, do that. If you don't believe in prayer, which you should, but if you don't, then that's okay. Speak life into people, encourage people, just try to be an ear. Maybe sometimes say, hey, reach out to someone, call them, write them on Facebook. How you doing? How you been? You need to talk. You okay? Because you don't know if that one conversation, if that prayer, if that one interaction can save that person's life or it can change some things about that person's life. I don't know if my prayer changed anything in Vinny's life or not. I don't know. I hope that maybe it brought a little bit of light to his life at the moment, but I can't say that it did. I don't know. But the point of this podcast is to say, like, if you have the opportunity to help people, do it. That's my point. If you feel somebody is sad, if you feel something is wrong, check on that person. If somebody is always on your mind, check on that person. They're not on your mind for a reason. If randomly you think about your old friend from seventh grade and they're still alive and they're around, maybe reach out to them and say, hey, you were on my mind. I know I haven't talked to you in years. Just want to see how you're doing. You okay? You want to talk? Do that. Because a lot of times God is using you to help that person in that moment and you may not realize it. And we always have to remember that our ministry and what we're here on earth for is for other people. We're not here for ourselves. We are here for other people. And listen, as long as you do your part, you'll be okay. Sure, you're not going to reach everybody. Sure, there are going to be situations that no matter how hard you pray, it's just not going to work out. And that's okay too. As long as you do your part, you're doing something. And so that's what made me get over my guilt because I lived with that guilt for years. I really felt like I could have done more. I was like, did I not pray hard enough? Should I had, you know, invite him to church that Sunday? Like there were so many thoughts in my mind, but we can't think like that. We have to know like, okay, I did do what I could do in that moment. And you have to just be okay with that. So, yeah, man, shout out to Vinny. Rest in peace to Vinny, man. I know my boy holding it down in heaven, making everybody laugh because he was just goofy as all get out. And, you know, if you guys know anybody that's struggling with addiction, pray for them. Don't be so quick to judge them. really and truly pray for them. One thing about the Black community is humor is kind of our way of dealing with our trauma. So we laugh at the drunk uncles. We laugh at the crackhead uncles, the crackhead aunties. We find it funny. But these people did not get like this out of the blue. These people weren't born out of the blue to be crackheads and drunks. It's a reason why people fall into addiction. And it's not our place to judge. And it's not our place to try to dig deep to find out why, because sometimes they'll tell you and sometimes you'll never know. And maybe sometimes it's too painful for them to speak on. But you have the power of prayer. You have the power of encouragement. And I want you to use that. So, yeah, y'all, that's it for me. Thank you guys for listening. Again, we have some new stuff coming up. We have some new stuff coming up in 2024. I'm really excited. We're really blessed. I love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. If you're a believer, just keep going hard for God, okay? Keep praying, keep encouraging. If you're not a believer, keep praying, keep encouraging. No matter who you are, keep encouraging, speaking life into people, okay? And that's my message. Y'all have a good night.